Bar.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to This and That Podcast, show number 75. Gretchen.
Jeff.
This is the drunken episode. Gretchen came over and she was in a bit of a stupor.
One of us is drunk and it's not moi.
I'm not that drunk though. Actually, because I have a commitment I take very seriously. I'm a broadcast professional.
And it's a Sunday evening.
And it's a Sunday evening.
It's a pretty day out. So.
Very pretty day. So we kind of hung out on the porch a little bit too long with wine. But, you know, it was a great day. No. So we're taking comments to the show. The phone number is 206-333-1003. That show again. That phone number again is 206-333-1003. Give us a call. Say something. No big whoop.
Or send an email.
And so that's very cool. So what's been going on in your world?
Well, let's see. Last weekend I went to Austin and I listened to a little bit of South by Southwest.
How did you get tickets? Was it crazy? Was it crazy fun? Was it hard to get tickets to these things? Did you just kind of go and see what you could get into?
Just kind of went with a friend of a friend who was working one of the shows, and it turned out to be the most... the loudest bands of 16-year-old Irish youth I think I've ever heard. They were so
16 years loud. Old Irish youth?
They were all the Ireland bands were in one venue.
No kidding.
Yeah,
and they
looked
funny.
Like none of them looked older than 16, I swear. And they played as loud as they possibly could in the smallest room they possibly could.
Really?
So even with earplugs, you had to scream to even think about being heard. And that was really not particularly fun.
Wow.
You can get wristbands and, you know, whatever, if you want to enjoy it all. I found it a bit overwhelming. I think there were like 1,500 bands. I'm not sure, you know, if you're a music aficionado, I guess you know which ones you want to see and which ones you don't.
You know, yeah, I think you have to really be into it because I heard a couple music podcasts. I think one was the, you know, music NPR podcast.
Uh-huh.
And they had some recommendations. I mean, he goes, you know, this guy said, I spent 1,000 hours or something crazy like that.
I could see why it happened.
Listening
to
all these bands, their pages on MySpace and stuff, to kind of figure out who I wanted to see.
Right.
And who was worthwhile.
I know. I could see why they do that. They'd have to.
And then, they'd have to.
And then there's like one or two jazz clubs in town, so I went to one of those. And
wow. They have also South by Southwest new jazz groups?
Yes, they had some jazz. Okay. And had to wait in line, and it was very close to the end of the, it was the last performance, and I guess they go on every 45 minutes,
right.
And, you know, there's just, it's, it seemed pretty well organized, but, you know, but it was still a bit overwhelming, and, you know, everybody's 20, and I'm not, so I guess I'm an old.
I know, you're 19.
I guess I'm really old, so.
And everybody's like, help the old woman across the street.
Yep. So that's I think it's probably worthwhile, but you definitely have to do your homework to see who you want to hear.
Yeah. Now, what about the film part of it? Did you explore that at all?
I didn't see any of that. That was, I think, sort of earlier in the week, and then.
Oh, okay.
I guess the big deal was Jane's Addiction got sort of reunited, and that was on Thursday night, and they were supposed to come on at 11, and they came on at 1:45 a.m.
Oh my God.
No, I guess if you don't really have a life and you're just sort of hanging out, you can you can wait a couple more hours in the middle of the night to hear, you know, them.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I remember going to concerts here in Dallas, just in Deep Ellum and, you know, whatnot. You go down to see a band on a Tuesday night and you expect them to start at 9.
Yeah.
And by the time midnight comes, you're still standing and waiting for the band. And I remember, you know, even at the time, and I was young, I went to the management and said, you know, I don't really understand. Why do we do this? Is it because it's kind of cooler to do it at night? Because most of us, I'm looking at the crowd right now, and most of us are like me. We have jobs to go to the next morning, and I would much rather this have a 10 o'clock start to 11:30.
Right.
And I, you know,
which is what it
that's reasonable.
To be. Right.
And he at the time, this is probably, you know, 10 years ago, but at the time he said, you know, I think you're right. Most people would like that more. It's the bands that dictate this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that like to, you know,
they start
probably,
late.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they just got up. Maybe somebody was missing.
Right.
Who knows?
Right.
Who knows what the deal was. So
interesting.
Yeah. So it was definitely interesting, but it was crowded.
How many, did you say two nights or?
I stayed one night, but okay. Yeah, there was, and then there was lots of trouble getting back because it was very windy and all the flights were delayed. So,
I should have drove.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, in 3 hours, you know.
Right.
By the time you hit one small delay.
Right. All right. What about you? What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? Well, not too much, I guess. What have I been up to?
It's been like 6 weeks, hasn't it?
No, it hasn't been that long, has it?
Maybe.
I don't know. What have I been up to? I've been working. I've been playing. Oh, I bought a new Kindle.
Oh, did you?
I bought the Kindle, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I have some criticisms of it, and I like it. But the criticisms of it is that I would say the screen still doesn't have, you know, as good of contrast as it could.
Hmm.
And it's still smaller in relationship to the keyboard on the Kindle. But the improvements they made to it is it's so much thinner. I never had the first one because I thought the first one just looked horrible. But it's very thin. It's great internet access. Well, I shouldn't say internet access. High speed 3G access to the Kindle store. It actually does have a browser on it, but it's kind of an in development browser. So it's good for browsing more or less text only type of web pages. It does actually do all web pages, but it's not optimized for that right now.
How many books do you have on yours?
I just bought one book. I bought Audible, but I'm also, it's interestingly enough, you know.
You bought an Audible book?
Oh, I'm sorry, not Audible. I meant Outliers. I don't know why I said Audible. Outliers by Malcolm.
That's the name of the book. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
By Malcolm. What's in the guy's
Gladwell?
Name? Thank you. Because I read all of his books so far. And this one is very, very good, too. In fact, I might go into that a little bit later, some of the counterintuitive, interesting things that he's coming up with. But interestingly enough, you know, in this time of horrible newspaper performance, mm-hmm. I'm finding it a great way to subscribe to newspapers. I bought the New York Times this morning for 75 cents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading the New York Times, you know? I don't have to go to a newsstand to get it. It's right there on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And 75 cents. I can subscribe to it. I actually subscribe to two things. I subscribe to Newsweek and I subscribe to Salon. Now, Salon is completely available online, actually, for free. But there's a convenience to get it every day on the Kindle.
Oh.
So, you know, I'm liking it. I mean, a couple of Facebook comments when I said that I had bought the Kindle. It's like, oh my gosh, you're a traitor. You know, what do you have against books? And my reply is, it doesn't replace books. It just doesn't. It's a different thing, though. You know, I can buy Outliers, a book that, why do I need that in my bookcase, for $10 compared to $20 at the bookstore, and just read it and be done with it.
How much of that goes to the author?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Mm.
No idea. I don't care. I assume they're compensated appropriately or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it saves. Is it ecological because it saves trees?
But you can't pass it on, right?
No, I cannot pass it on.
You can't pass it on.
Right. Can't sell it to Half Price Books.
Or lend it to a friend.
Or lend it to a friend. Yeah,
okay.
You're right. No, I cannot do that.
Hmm.
So, and that might very well be the trade-off that the publishers say, yeah, we'll let the download for 10, right, possibly so, because they know in the real world that
a
maybe 10% books are loaned to friends.
Right.
Who knows,
right.
You know,
whatever.
I'm sure they know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they do too. Wow.
So I'm liking it, you know, it's definitely, I think the Kindle 3 will be much a better product, but I knew I didn't buy the Kindle 1 because I knew Kindle 2 would be better,
mm-hmm.
and Kindle 2 is better, and I think Kindle 3, Kindle 4 will just be that much more cool. So there you go.
Wow.
That's what I've been doing.
Well, earlier this week I did something sort of interesting that I hadn't done before. I met the councilwoman for our district here in Dallas. I think we're probably in the same district.
Who?
In district
14. I don't think we are. Really?
I think we are. Mm-hmm.
Angela Hunt?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I met her, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In fact, I'm her Facebook friend. And
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I've ridden her a couple times.
All right. Well, the district, that particular district is really laid out.
It's a weird, it's a weird one.
It goes around University Park. And
I didn't, I were to have to guess, I would not have said you were in 14.
Right. But I knew Greenville Avenue was, so I figured you probably were.
Very cool. I like her. I think
she's
very smart.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I actually got an insight into how a bond initiative gets on the ballot, because it turns out right now we happen to be in the same district, which is 14, and I'm sure this process is probably true in any other city, mm-hmm. but the last bond issue in Dallas was in 2006, and so right now the council is working on a 2010 bond.
Okay.
It would be probably about $11 billion right now. Maybe that'll come down.
It's just at the moment. The situation, $11 billion sounds like an awful lot.
Right. Well, right now at the moment, the inventory needs of each district is being tossed around for feedback. And in District 14, ours is $500 million right now.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Just for
yes,
our district.
Yes, it is. It really is.
And that's a general obligation bond, and that goes for things like parks and rec, libraries, fire and police stations, roads and sewage, and streetscapes. It's not regular maintenance, and it's not leasing of vehicles or equipment. These are new things that have to happen.
Got it.
Like new streetlights or new speed
bumps. Got it. Not
new
maintenance.
Trees.
Okay.
It's not maintenance. Not the everyday
new
maintenance.
New libraries.
This is new.
Mm-hmm. So we had a big conversation about libraries last year, I think.
Right. Or significant upgrades, maybe, like if one needs to be expanded or a fire station needs to be expanded, but it's not regular maintenance. It's not like fixing something that's
broken. So besides for essential services like fire stations, and I have a renewed appreciation for fire stations, thank you.
As
all our listeners know, and police and things like that, it just seems like an odd time to build new libraries, etc. And I don't mean to pick on the libraries.
I'm not sure how many libraries we're actually
in. No, I don't mean to pick on the libraries, but you know what I mean.
And how many parks can we afford? And how many...
Right.
One of the big initiatives...
I mean, I think all those things absolutely make the city a better city. And I think those are absolutely things that we should invest in.
Right. It may get pared down in two years versus... Right.
We're at the absolutely worst time in this particular financial crisis. Just strikes me as odd.
Right. Right. Well, the bond from 2006 is so far is 65% spent or completed because it takes 2 to 4 years to spend the money and get the projects going.
Yep.
So even if it's passed in 2010, it'll be like another 4 years out. So maybe if we think long term, wow, what do we really need four years from 2010? You know, like how many police stations do we have to have? And it was actually very interesting to see how it happens, and anybody can go online.
Did you talk to Angela Hunt about this?
I was at a breakfast of the sort of organizations that are in her district, like the Crime Watch and the Merchants Associations and that kind of thing. And so she was asking for feedback, and she is very intelligent, very well spoken. She is a lawyer, but you can go to dallascityhall.com if you want to actually see this needs inventory where it stands right now. And then it's assigned a cost estimate, and then there's a value put on it about how important it is in the great scheme of things, and some things are needs and some things are wants, and then it gets voted on, and then after a lot of things happen between the time it gets on the ballot and how it starts out. So it'll be interesting to see, but I thought that was fun
but she's on my Facebook and on my Twitter, and it's really interesting because she does tweet and Facebook about things that are going on in City Hall, and she looks for feedback, and this is the modern age. I mean, this is the way things are done nowadays. But she also has a Angela Hunt on what's the picture site? Not YouTube, but the picture Flickr. And she had a whole big picture set on the St. Pat's Day party because that was in her district. And great picture set. I don't know if she's a photographer or she's got some people, but
who do it?
Mm-hmm. Really a great thing. And that's the thing that happened. I also had a party 2 weeks ago, as I always do, my annual party, which you didn't go to. But
I missed the breakfast meets.
Well, we have other things. We have fun mimosas and all kinds of people bring stuff, and we have veggie stuff. But it was fun. I want you to come next year.
Forgetting that you do St. Patrick's Day, and it always
well,
seems
and
like
I do it. And honestly, I got the invite out of
kind
the
of
very
do it
last
at
minute.
Last minute, don't you? Do?
Yeah, because there's part of me. I mean, I love doing it. I always have a good time. And guests seem to always have a good time, but
what's that Irish in you, right?
There's part of me that always like to the last minute, where I really want to do this, have a bunch of people invading my house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's always that part of me, and I never regret doing it. So,
maybe next time I'll remind you 2 weeks prior.
I know.
Hey, time to get the invite out.
I know exactly. But that was a lot of fun. The weather was just disappointing this year.
Yeah.
You know the reason. You know, I think I probably talked about this on the show before, but I live in a neighborhood that really gets out for St. Pat's Day.
Yep,
and so the reason it's really fun to, and I originally had a very small group of friends to come over on St. Pat's Day because it would be fun to hang out in the front porch, And people watch, because people are always going over. They're dressed in green. There's a big block party that's about a 10-minute walk from here. And for some reason, this neighborhood just evolved into a neighborhood that has people like to have their house parties. Mm-hmm. Most people are welcome.
Right. They had some kind of count for how many house parties there were, too.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to think if I can remember it now. I can't remember it.
Yeah.
But they knew how many there were.
Because I have mine. And then we typically, I know a few people around, and we went to 2 house parties this year. Last year, I think we hit 3 of them. But, you know, you always know friends or friends of friends and such.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a real, when the weather is really nice, there's nothing that matches the feeling of community. And this, it really does. It's nice. The block party itself is just a crazy thing that we adult, you know, house owners don't even bother with anymore, because that's just a get drunk fest with the young kids. But the neighborhood feel is a really nice feeling.
Aww.
It makes me feel like I'm in Austin or, you know, I don't know, something just cool, you know, probably San Francisco in the 60s or something. Just people, you know, digging being outside. It's usually, a lot of times, it's the first nice weekend of the year, you know.
This year it happened to pour.
This year it happened to be pretty
cold.
Miserable. Yeah. Well, it was really miserable the Thursday and Friday. Saturday was a little bit better.
Right.
But, yeah.
Right. There were a few arrests.
there always are, but they had less arrests this year than any other year.
Right.
So they were pretty pleased.
And the other thing that was interesting is there's 3 police substations in District 14, and one of them got up to speak, and he said crime is down 26% this year, January through March, compared to last year. And they attributed to 500 more officers that have been hired in the last couple of years, and another 160 are going to be hired this year. So they're keeping crime as a primary objective, which
is really impressive given the economy there'd be worse crimes.
Right.
Now, did you see the latest thing this week?
Which one? I've seen a few things about Dallas has made the news this week.
Dallas has made the news. Well, I don't know how national this is, but there was a big deal about the cop who gave...
Oh, that's so national.
Oh, that is national.
Who
gave the football player. And to the football player's credit, he never even said anything about being a football player. In fact, I never heard of him. I guess he's probably second or third string, whatever,
for
the Houston
Motes.
Team. Yeah, mm-hmm. Ryan Motes. And I saw the video, I saw the tapes, and it is... absolutely ridiculous how much power this cop had. Basically, he stopped this guy from seeing his mother-in-law die.
Mm-hmm.
He said because he
ran a red light,
and he even ran the red lights with like caution.
Mm-hmm.
and he explained the situation. Did you see his wife and her friend just ran
in the hospital? Yeah,
they're saying, "If you're going to shoot me, shoot me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to the hospital to see my mother die."
Right. Yeah, it's outrage.
But did you see the police chief's statement?
Apology.
He came out right on front and said this is inappropriate behavior by our policemen.
Right, and he's now on unpaid leave until they decide what to do with him. And he has apologized too.
Oh, the policeman has.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. At first he said, after reviewing the tapes, I don't see anything I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he basically said things like, "I could make your life shit."
Right. You can make it miserable, yeah.
Right. So and then they were talking on the radio. It's like, even if he believed that he really didn't do anything wrong, what the heck is his problem? Why would he say that publicly, right? If he wants to salvage any kind of reputation or career.
Right. He's just a very young officer, isn't he, 25?
Very young,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very young. And very unfortunate that Dallas was called out for that. That is national news.
I didn't realize that was national.
Oh, yeah. Yep. No, that made the news.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah. And the other thing that made the news, which another Dallas story, which is, gotta love that.
Yeah.
here we are in the Bible Belt, but apparently the Texas Board of Education is one of the largest single purchasers of textbooks in the United States, because the Texas board buys for the entire state of Texas, and that makes them actually pretty powerful. And so what they decide actually sort of influences what textbook publishers write in other states. And of course the heated battle over evolution versus intelligent design creationism.
Yeah.
Rages on here in the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
So this week, the Texas, well, actually on Friday, not that long ago, Texas Board of Education approved a science curriculum that opens the doors for teachers and textbooks in high schools to raise doubts about evolution.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
What are we, Kansas?
Texas sent a clear message that evolution should be taught as a scientific theory open to critical scrutiny, not as a sacred dogma that can't be questioned.
I don't have a problem with that. That's a scientific process. But, you know, the scientific process is just what it is. You create a hypothesis and you make experiments to try to, you know, either prove it or disprove it. Most of the time you try to disprove it.
Well, what everybody's afraid of is that the board has created a roadmap that creationists will use to pressure publishers into putting phony arguments attacking established science into textbooks, because they still have to approve the actual wording.
Yeah.
And then these books will be bought in 2011 and they will last 10 years.
Oh my God.
That's the part that's really kind of scary. And it's for the entire state. Several years ago, the board expressed concern that a description of the Ice Age occurring millions of years ago conflicted with biblical timelines.
Oh, geez.
So the publisher changed it to say in the distant past.
Wow.
Isn't that, that's, talk about pandering.
Yeah, no kidding.
There was a slight victory for evolution, though. The board voted to remove a longstanding requirement that students analyze the strength and weaknesses of the theory. So that was considered a bit of a victory. There's also an earth science curriculum that challenges the Big Bang theory, and the board approved that. And they also approved to delete a reference that the universe is 14 billion years old. The board's chairman said he believes that God created the universe fewer than 10,000 years ago. Isn't that just awful that we mix...
It is absolutely unacceptable that we don't take scientific things that we've learned to the best of our knowledge and say, this is what, you know, so far.
This is what
we're going to learn more.
Right.
So far, this is what we know.
And that this book's last for 10 years.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really conflict with religious thought. It depends on how literally you take the Bible and all this.
Right. And how about people who don't believe in the Bible?
Right.
Why is that taught? Or why is that?
I know.
That doesn't seem right either. Right.
It's so wrong.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, Texas is the hotbed of this issue. So.
Really?
You wouldn't have known that, huh? So that made
I did not know that.
That made the news this week. Well, happening here in good old Texas.
Wow. Well, I got a question for you.
Yes.
And for everybody in the audience. So when you write emails, you know, I pose this actually on Facebook to a few friends, but do you, or emails, or even, really emails, do you sign it? Or do you sometimes, if it's familiar enough, do you not sign it? Do you put your name at the end of it? Do you say, thanks, comma, Gretchen? Or do you just say, I'll be over for the podcast today, and that's it? I don't remember how you do it, but or you put G.
Sometimes I do G, because it's kind of, my name's long.
Right. Yeah, really long.
My name is long. It's 8 characters.
Come on.
It's long, man. Are you supposed to sign them? It's pretty obvious.
No,
who it's from.
I don't know.
I always sort of lead off.
This is what I started to think about, because it seems like maybe us old school folks, I would always tend to be signed at Jeff, but there's two things that's interesting about that. A, I have an automated signature at the end that says Jeff, a strike, blah, blah, blah. And then also, the from says my name.
Right.
So it's really redundant.
So do you need a salutation?
That's what I'm, well, salutation is the hello, right?
Uh-huh.
hello.
Or do you need
dear Gretchen? Dear Gretchen.
Hi, Gretchen. Hi, Jeff. Do you want to do a podcast?
Right.
Question mark.
Right. When
isn't the subject line sort of redundant with the salutation?
Right. When all I have to do is really send you an email that's in the subject line that says
podcast
win,
question mark,
or podcast question mark.
Right.
And you'd get it.
Right.
It doesn't seem very nice. Right? It seems fairly brief. And I think that's the thing. You know, do you have to say all this stuff to be nice? And sign it, Jeff. Now, my friend Lindsay in California said in the Facebook response, he goes, you know, and I tend to do this, what Lindsay does. I tend to reflect what the other guy does.
That's a good point.
You know, if the other guy says, thanks,
You
know, John,
uh-huh.
I'll tend to respond and go, hey, John, blah, 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 blah. Talk to you later, Jeff.
Uh-huh. Right.
Because it's reflective.
Right.
Because if I just am abrupt, it seems rude. I mean, he knows it's me.
But what if you're having a conversation back and forth?
Now, I know.
I don't do instant messaging, but what if you are going back and forth and you know you're in the one topic?
Right.
We were trying to pick a time, so we're going back and forth.
Right.
7, does that work? I don't know. 6, what?
It
what
seems
works for
like
you?
It's like familiarity too, because you're not going to be offended if I don't say Jeff at the end of every one of my emails.
I know who you are. Maybe when you're getting to know someone, maybe it's a little...
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's...
I think I go from Jeff to Jay to nothing.
There you go.
But I don't really have any concrete rules. I think I'm like my friend who said I kind of reflective of what the other person does.
Yeah. So what do most of your friends do? Have you noticed?
No. Well, I have kind of noticed, and they're all over the map.
Mm.
But here's the thing. I think some friends never even ever sign their name. And I never perceive it as rude. Huh. I never do. So maybe I should just... That's why...
Maybe you automatically read their name. Maybe your mind is tricky
and just
putting it there.
Maybe so.
Maybe you know automatically.
So I never think of it as rude, but sometimes when I'm writing somebody, I think, oh, I want to be nice.
Now, when you read it...
See you later, Jeff.
Right. But when you read it, don't you hear the other person's voice?
Oh, that's... No, I don't know if I do. Maybe sometimes. Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question.
I can hear the other person.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You just hear click, 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 click.
No, I can hear them. I can hear their voice saying it as if we were having a conversation.
That is interesting.
So.
Oh, I don't know if I do that or not.
Well,
no, I don't think I do.
That.
I don't think I do. Huh.
Yeah.
I wonder what that says.
I wonder if I'm the only one.
I wonder if that's a woman or man, woman and man thing,
or
if that's just a... You know, a redhead versus normal people thing?
I mean, for people I know what they sound like. You know, maybe there's some people, you know, if you're getting nervous,
you don't know what
they sound like.
Right.
But if you know what they sound like.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go.
Oh, that's a good insight about you.
Hey, do you know what's coming on Wednesday of this week?
Oh, let's see. What is coming on Wednesday? April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what's coming along with April Fool's?
A fool named April.
Or conficracy. You know what that is?
Or conficracy.
Conficracy, the worm, the computer worm that's supposed to damage millions of computers on Wednesday.
No kidding, really?
Microsoft
turn my home computer off that day?
Microsoft has put out a $250,000 bounty to try solve this worm.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Anti-worm researchers have banded together to form a group called, I hope I'm saying this right for all you people, in the anti-worm group, Conficker Cabal.
Wow.
Members are searching for the malicious software program's authors and ways to control the damage that it's expected
to do. So how do they know it's coming? Has there been...
They think that when they saw some of the code, that the code referred to that date.
Okay.
And it supposedly has already infected between 5 and 10 million computers. And what's going to happen on April Fool's Day is anyone's guess, but some of the things they suspect is that it could delete all your files.
See, okay, can I just go back real fast?
Sure.
Sorry. When I hear things like it's going to affect 5 to 10 million, I want to say to the newspaper, the reporter, why do you report it like that? Tell us percentage. That would mean so much more to me. Like, there's a 5% chance you'll be inflicted. You know, 5% of the computers, I think, out there will be inflicted. The number doesn't mean anything to me. I don't have anything to base it on.
Oh, because you don't know how many computers there are out there?
Right.
No, I suppose we could look that up.
I know, we have to look it up, but why doesn't the reporter, isn't that generally just more interesting than the number? Or am I being a pain?
I think you're being picky there, Jeff.
Really? I would just find the percentage much more interesting.
Well, here's a way to tell if your computer has been affected.
Okay.
Have you gotten automatic updates from Windows in March? If so, your computer is likely fine. If you have not, then the virus may have stopped them. So if you've gotten anything from Microsoft in March, you are probably okay.
I don't think I have.
So it's supposed to be embedded deep in your computer where it's difficult to track.
Should I go into my Microsoft computer? I have a Microsoft and a Mac. Should I go into my Microsoft computer and actually do a check for updates?
Why don't you read what Microsoft says about it?
Because they've
definitely printed something about it. And what it might do is that it's either going to delete your files or use zombie PCs, which are those controlled by the master, to overwhelm and shut down websites, or it may monitor your keystrokes to collect private information and steal your identity. And what it may do now is try to get you to buy fake software or spend money on phony products.
Okay.
So that's what it's concerned about, that they may all of a sudden, maybe on Wednesday, we're going to see all kinds of offers for software that is all part of this virus. The first version was released in 2008. So,
because I was like going to wait and do all my software buying on Wednesday.
On Wednesday. Well, there you go. So this isn't a hoax. Apparently, it's been reported by the mainstream media, and Microsoft is taking it very seriously.
All right. I'm going to do a search. Yeah. I'm going to do a search on my Microsoft machine. Did they say anything at all about Mac?
No, they didn't say anything about Mac. It did say that Microsoft is actively working with the industry to mitigate the spread of the worm.
Yep. Wow. Well, that's a good update. Hopefully, I'll get this podcast out before Wednesday so people can be proactive. I'll try to do my best.
And on a related note, did you hear the Dalai Lama's computer has been that and computers in 103 other nations have been electronically spied on? They've been infiltrated by computers based in China.
Wow.
I cannot say whether Chinese government has anything to do with it, but the offices of the Dalai Lama asked this group in Toronto to examine its computers for signs of malicious software, or called malware, and they revealed that over 1,200 computers have been infiltrated in 103 countries, many belonging to embassies and foreign ministries. And this particular software has Big Brother-like capabilities. It can turn on a camera and audio recording functions.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that awful?
Oh, my God.
All so when out of China.
I'm walking around in my studio naked in front of the iMac, you know, video thing. I don't even know how to turn the thing on and off anyways. That's really
Isn't
scary.
That amazing?
Yeah, I always want to put masking tape over the little aperture hole. I really don't actually hang out naked. It's not really something I do, but still, you know.
Yeah, well, interesting.
Seems bizarre. Yeah,
what's
it's scary.
What's going on in the world? Yep.
Well, I have some fun news.
Okay. Fun.
There are researchers have shown there's 6 reasons to have sex every week.
Now, is this from that Bible-based church?
No, no, it's not. But
we talked about that.
But I'll bet they've got some of the stuff in. Ed, we're back. So, anyways, so I think it's the same thing that they generally that the preacher probably used, but they're interesting. So number one, some of them are didn't realize. First one is it fights cold and flu. Sexual intercourse once or twice a week raises the body's level of the immune boosting antibody immunoglobulin A by 1/3, according to research. So, you know what I wish they would say? Can you get the same benefits from just having an orgasm, like masturbation or whatever, right? I mean...
Well, it sounds like it's pretty specific. It's saying intercourse, huh?
Yeah, it's saying intercourse.
Men and women, or is this men
is,
and men?
This is from Newsweek, so it doesn't say specifically. I think it's for men and women.
Okay.
Number two, it's a beauty treatment. Now, this is interesting. It's kind of funny, too. So... There's a study done in the Royal Edinburgh Hospital where a panel of judges viewed participants through one-way mirrors and guessed their ages, okay? Those who looked 7 to 12 years younger than their age were also enjoying lots of sex 4 times a week on average. And then the comment is, okay, maybe they were having so much fun because they look so young. But they said it's likely that the sex was helping. So, you know, whatever. It burns calories, a little over 4 calories a minute. For women, a migraine might actually be reason for making love rather than avoiding intercourse. I've heard that before.
We've heard that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it's really actually good for a headache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is interesting. It promotes a regular menstrual cycle. And there's been a number of studies that have corroborated that.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then it can prevent accidents. Okay, I had to admit, this one is very funny. Let me explain the kind of accidents that can prevent. Women use the muscles of the pelvic floor to stem the flow of urine. As they age, they need to keep these strong to avoid peeing accidentally. The same muscles are exercised during intercourse. And as with all muscle building programs, the benefits require consistency. So
it avoids can avoid urinary incontinence.
Apparently it avoids urinary incontinence in women as they get older.
What about you men who are always having to go with your prostate issues?
I don't think it helps that, sadly. That one was the funniest thing.
That
wow.
is funny. Wow.
I know.
Well, speaking of accidents, have you heard that...
peeing accidents?
Yeah, this is peeing accidents. But this is actually pet accidents that 86,000 Americans had to go to the emergency room last year because they fell over their pets.
Really?
This is a new report that was done that there's 240 trips to the ER every day. 62% of the falls involve dogs at home and 86% involved cats. 86% of the...
So more cats than dogs.
More cats than
That's
dogs.
That's what I would have thought, yeah.
One-third of the falls...
Because cats get in the way.
Yep. One-third of the falls broke bones. A quarter of them were bruises. A fifth of them were sprains. And one-tenth were lacerations.
And what do they do to the animals?
They didn't study the animals. But it's not just the animal, it's the animal or their toys. I thought that was interesting. You could fall on their toys, too. The largest number of injuries occur in children 14 and younger, and the highest rate of injury is in people 75 and older.
Well, that makes sense.
The young
sure.
and the old are very susceptible, that, right?
Of course, that's what makes sense.
Women are more likely than men to be injured.
I wonder why that is, right? Well, I know why that is, because women... are generally more active around the house when men just sit
right.
the sofa.
Right, and here's how the accidents occurred. One quarter of the dog-related accidents occurred while walking the dog.
Really?
Yeah, 3% occurred while running from a dog.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
0.5% was breaking up a fight. 1/3 of the falls, a person tripped over the dog. And 1/5, they were pulled by the animal. Can you imagine? There goes the dog.
Pulled by the animal is right. funny.
12% of the cat-related injuries involved chasing the animal.
Really?
Yeah. And 2/3, the person tripped over the cat.
Yeah. See, I would think tripping is...
Tripping is
because that's the thing. I've come closest to.
I've tripped over them. And, you know, you step on their stuff.
Right.
And sometimes, yeah, it can not feel so good.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with urinary incontinence, but it is kind of funny.
It's interesting because, so one could say that, gee, maybe the elderly over 75 shouldn't have pets, but at the same time...
They're actually very good.
Exactly.
So you've got little...
counter mm-hmm. things probably yeah. in general they're right. overall better than they are worse.
But you just have to be careful. Yeah.
But I think that's true. You know, you always hear about the elderly people taking a fall and really doing damage to their hip.
Right.
And it just seems like if you're over the age of 70 to 75, you better just walk a little bit carefully.
Right. You better know where the animal is at all times.
But not just with the animals. I'm talking about just in general.
Oh, in general.
You don't want to take a fall.
You don't want to fall. Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to have
life alert if you live alone.
Yeah.
Something that, you know, if you do fall, because you don't want to be down on the ground and not be able to get to a phone.
Exactly. Well, I have, this is from Men's Health, and I thought this is a really good, interesting article. It's the 10 best foods that you aren't eating.
Uh-oh.
So they're foods that you probably should put in your diet, but we don't eat. Number one is cabbage. And the reason it's healthy is that it's loaded with valuable nutrients. At the top of the list is sulforaphane, a chemical that increases your body's production of enzymes that disarm cell-damaging free radicals and reduces your risk of cancer.
Did your mother used to make stuffed cabbage when you were a kid?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if stuffed cabbage. We had a lot of corned beef and cabbage. I remember that.
There you go. Yeah.
And I've always...
My grandmother used to make stuffed cabbage.
What do they stuff it with?
You stuff it with like a sort of a meat mixture.
Really?
You know, meat and stuffing, not stuffing, breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
You know, you just sort of mix it up and put it in. And then it's cooked sort of in a red sauce. And it's baked.
Yeah.
It's actually, you know, if you...
But you know, like when I've been in overseas, mm-hmm. I've always enjoyed like pickled cabbage type of stuff. Mm-hmm. I've always liked that. And I don't really find it that much here, but... I need to put more cabbage in my diet, and I encourage anybody.
Did it say which color cabbage? I eat red cabbage.
No, it doesn't say. It doesn't say.
So maybe it's all cabbage.
It does say this vegetable is a major player in European and Asian diets, just not here.
Huh.
Second one is beets.
Why
they're healthy, they say, think of it as red spinach, like Popeye's power food. This crimson vegetable is one of the best sources of folate and betaine, which work together to lower your blood levels of homocysteine, an inflammatory compound that can damage the arteries and increase your risk of heart disease. Plus, there's a pigment, the one that gives the beets the color, that have proven to be a potent cancer fighter. It said, actually, to eat them fresh and raw, not from a jar.
Huh.
Now, I've never really liked beets,
but... Yeah, they come up as one of the worst foods that everybody hates.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, remember when I talked about the worst foods that everybody
liked? Yes.
Beets were near the top of the list.
But I wonder if part of it, because they're really saying don't actually cook them, and I wonder if part of it is maybe cooking they get gross. They say heating beets actually decreases their antioxidant power.
Huh.
That's kind of interesting. Number three is guava. Now, have you ever had guava?
No.
No. I've never had guava either. In fact, Amanda was saying... that she had guava, first, I can't remember where she had it, overseas, and she loved it. So guava is an obscure tropical fruit that's subtly acidic. But here's why it's healthy. And this is, you know, I'm thinking as a man, I really need to get this. Higher level of lycopene or lycopene. An antioxidant that fights prostate cancer. Not that I'm going to get prostate cancer, but I, as a man and... You know, I need to worry about that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And but it has more of this lycopene than any other plant foods, including tomatoes and watermelon.
Wow.
I've always been bummed by the fact that it's big in tomatoes, and I don't like tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
So guava, I need to put into my diet, without a doubt.
Wow.
You know, simple things. Swiss chard. This is a leafy green vegetable. Usually in most markets, it's slightly bitter, salty.
Right.
But it's supposed to be very good. I won't bore you with all the details because I want to keep going down the list. Cinnamon.
Really?
This old world spice usually reaches most men's stomachs only when it's mixed with sugar and stuck to a roll. So you got to get out of that. But there's some other benefits. And I'm thinking, you know, I have my oatmeal or five grain hot cereal in the morning. I could just sprinkle a little cinnamon. It would actually taste good because I like cinnamon. Who doesn't?
Mm-hmm.
But cinnamon helps control your blood sugar, which influences your risk of heart disease. In fact, USDA researchers found that people with type 2 diabetes who consume 1 gram of cinnamon a day for 6 weeks, that's about a quarter of a teaspoon each day, significantly reduced not only their blood sugar, but also their triglycerides and their LDL, which is the bad cholesterol. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for lowly cinnamon, geez.
I know. And they said how to eat it. You know, you don't need the fancy oils and extracts. Just sprinkle a bit of stuff on some of your things.
Yeah, it's good on toast.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Purslane, you ever heard of purslane? It's a popular vegetable and herb in China, Mexico, and Greece. It's just like a leafy vegetable. I never heard of either.
It's
got the highest amount of healthy omega-3 fats of any edible plant.
Wow.
You know, we always hear that in fish
omega-3,
and so forth.
Yeah. Wow.
Pomegranate juice, I think I've been hearing that recently.
Everybody's been hearing about that.
Yeah. Popular drink for decades in the Middle East, apparently.
Huh.
Israeli scientists, I should say, men who down just 2 ounces of pomegranate juice daily, that's not that much.
Yeah.
A year.
Have you had it? It's pretty tart.
I've had it, and I don't mind it. But anyway, for a year, decreased their top number blood pressure, their systolic, by 21% and significantly improved blood flow to their hearts.
For just 2 ounces.
Yeah. What's more, 4 ounces provide 50% of your daily vitamin C needs.
Really? It's got that much vitamin C?
Yeah.
Wow. To get that back out. I know. It's
good
antioxidant.
2 ounces only. Goji berries. These raisin-sized fruits are chewy and taste like a cross between a cranberry and a cherry. More important, these potent berries have been used as a medicinal food in Tibet for over 1,700 years.
Wow.
They have one of the highest ORAC, O-R-A-C rating, a method of gauging antioxidant powers of any fruit. There you go. The way you eat them is mix dried or fresh goji berries with a cup of yogurt, you know, sprinkle on oatmeal or whatever.
Hmm.
Okay, so dried plums, pumpkin seeds, and I guess that's the remaining of them. So
wow, very interesting.
Yeah, so men's health, I think that's in the latest issue there. But I thought that was pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are easy to get. Some of them, maybe not, but...
Right, yeah. Right. But, you know, I'll bet Whole Foods or Central Market, I'll bet you can find some, that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Well, here's my favorite story of the week.
Oh, yay!
Here's one of those great examples of really not thinking things through all that well. Our dear friends in Spokane, Washington, are now crossing the border to Idaho to get dishwasher detergent. And you may say, why?
Why, yeah.
They're bringing back Cascade and Electrosol from out of state because they have just passed a law in the state of Washington that says that they have banned dishwasher detergent made with phosphates. It's a measure aimed at reducing water pollution.
Right.
The ban will be expanded statewide in July of 2010. So right now it's in Spokane.
Yeah.
But what it turns out to be the issue is that they all went ahead and tried the green products like Seventh Generation or Trader Joe's, and it turns out that their dishes were encrusted with food and smeared with grease, and they were too gross to use without rewashing them.
Wow.
Because the water in Spokane is so hard, it's mineral rich and resistant to soap.
Got it.
So it turns out that all the ones that are healthy for the environment wouldn't clean the dishes, so you had to wash them twice.
Right.
And so now people have just decided enough of this, and they're heading east on Interstate 90 to Idaho to buy.
Oh my gosh.
To buy Electrosol and Cascade, which are the stuff that does remove them.
So if they go statewide, there might be a whole black market.
Yes, there is going to be a black market, and it turns out that it's not. The ban is just applies to the sale of phosphate detergent, not its use or possession.
Oh, interesting.
So you're allowed to actually have it in your house, but you can't buy it in the state. So it's the retailers who would be punished if they sell it. So phosphates have been banned in laundry detergents nationally since 1993, but Washington is the first state to ban phosphates in dishwasher detergents. So it's being phased in, starting in Spokane, and it's going to roll out to the rest of the state. But now they're a little bit worried because it's been very unpopular, and everybody's just driving to get the stuff that really works. Mm. And I think that's really interesting, isn't it? So
it
now everybody's spending gas, which pollutes the environment, and they're having to wash the dishes twice because this wasn't really thought through because their water's too hard. So, I just thought that was kind of interesting. The Soap and Detergent Association is asking for a delay so that they can actually get a uniform rollout of all products so that it could actually be effective.
Anything they can do to soften up their public water, I wonder?
I don't know. I wonder if it's just how it naturally occurs.
I know some places are harder and some places are softer,
Right.
And it depends on...
And it turns out hard water is rich in minerals and resistant to soap.
Right.
So they're having a really hard time. Can you imagine opening your dishwasher and everything looks just as gross as when you put it in?
Maybe even grosser because now it's mixed in detergent stuff. Well, last week I mentioned that the guys from this morning radio show,
they're
going to play the girls in basketball.
Uh-huh.
They played Lake Highlands. Did it happen this Tuesday? Did you hear the result at all?
No.
Okay. The guys lost, let's see if I get this to chorus, something like 61 to 44. But it was interesting because they actually were up after the halftime and after the third quarter as well. But I think youth beats the old guys. But it was interesting.
Did the old guys practice at all? Did they go out there?
They had four practices together.
And they played an all-girls team.
Right.
And this was in response to the 100-0 defeat.
Right, because they had made jokes about, hey, we should try to play that. Or I think there's 100-0. These girls aren't very good anyways. Even the victor of that.
Right.
So they thought they'd play. Now, there's criticism the next day from this junior in college from SMU. They played at Moody Coliseum, which is the SMU basketball hall.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, I don't understand why they did this, blah, 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 blah. And the guys at the ticket said, everybody had fun. The girls had fun doing it. We had fun
Didn't
doing it.
Didn't they raise money for a charity?
I think they raised money. I thought they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But everybody had fun and all that. And then they said, this was the whole idea. And I love it from a perspective of, I've always wondered, can the best NCAA team, for example, beat the worst NFL team? I love things like that because it's interesting. In that case, probably not. The best and the worst NFL team is still so much bigger and faster and stronger. But who knows? But this was interesting to me. A group of middle-aged Maybe some not so in shape, some okay in shape. Could they beat a girls basketball team? The answer is no.
And they were high school basketball.
High school basketball team. That was a fairly reasonable team.
They weren't the best, but they weren't the worst.
They made the playoffs, but they lost, for example. So they were a reasonable team.
Did the guy say that they got tired in the fourth quarter?
They made no excuses. The rails kind of came off in the fourth quarter. They didn't say that, but that's because I think they were being actually above the fold, but that's my interpretation of the thing, is that they kind of lost their, you know, chi. But they played them well and until a certain point, and, you know, I think it's kind of fun, but there are some criticisms of the event, you know. So anyway, if you're wondering if a team of middle-aged, out of shape, sports interesting guys can beat a women's basketball team, they can make it close, but they can't win. Yeah. So pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
I know.
That is interesting. Well, something else that's sort of interesting and sad in a way, the wealth of American families plunged 18% in 2008.
Huh.
We all sort of know that because we're all feeling it.
Now, what happened in 2008? I don't understand what you're talking about.
That is erasing years of sharp gains on housing and stocks.
But I mean, if wealth is determined by like your net worth, my wealth has probably gone down quite a bit more than that, just because most of my net worth is tied up in investments, right?
I mean, the net worth figure encompasses all of a family's assets: housing, stocks, personal property, minus total debts.
Right.
That's your net worth.
Right.
So. Yeah, so all in all, we lost, U.S. households lost $11 trillion, a decline in a single year that equals the combined annual output of Germany, Japan, and the U.K.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing, you know, that is it. So if you wonder why you're feeling it now, total household debt increased by 0.5%, and Americans certainly tightened their belt.
Yeah, but did you see that stock market in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah,
not bad.
There you go. Right. Yep.
Who knows whether that's a short-term or long-term stuff, though.
And collectively, homeowners have 43% equity in their homes, which is the lowest level since records have been kept.
Is that right?
43% equity, yeah.
Interesting.
Yep. So if you're wondering why it hurts, that's what the collective problem where we're all in right now.
Well, I just heard some breaking news actually today that tomorrow, this is Sunday, by the way, and tomorrow, Monday, what is the date? March 31st, maybe, or
30th.
Mm-hmm. Rick Wagner from GM
is going to resign.
He's going to resign because he's being forced by the Obama administration.
Oh, was that part of the deal? They said he had to go.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear that was the reason why.
And this is the guy that had the audacity just to kind of say, oh, they need me.
Yeah.
I mean, he made the point that why would you want to get rid of veterans of this industry that know the industry, that have leadership within this industry?
Right, but they have led the industry to the brink of collapse.
That's exactly my point. It's like, you led, you had experience, but you didn't do a good job. You didn't make the right decision. So. Right. Should you be rewarded with your job for not making the correct business decisions and not seeing the future? What else are you at the top of the company if not to do that?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you know, understand the distribution network, understand the manufacturing
process. It is a complicated industry.
It is absolutely complex with lots of partners, and that's why it's been trouble. You know, that's why the government is so focused on doing something about this industry, because it has so many hands in different places. Right.
If we let it go under, what it's going to cost.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't it 3 million jobs? We talked about this a lot back in October.
I can't remember the exact number.
It affected every single state. It couldn't even think about it. It would affect if the American car industry would go away. Look at the dealerships, the parts industry, everybody who supplies to those industries.
Right.
It was going to be a real disaster. I mean, look at what's going on in Detroit right now.
I know.
So that was why, huh?
The
condition.
Yeah. Well, there's good news, or not good news, but there's interesting research coming out of KY Company, the provider of recreational lubrications. Lubricants.
There's an interesting transition from Rick Wagner to KY. Okay. Does this have anything to do with the intercourse story?
No, it doesn't. No. But it's a different intercourse story. But 25% of men and 25% of women, that's a quarter of all women. This is in a New Zealand study. And 19% of men say their financial situation is impacting their intimacy levels. And that's ahead of any work and time pressures.
So financial implications.
Right. So basically, as a result of this, of all this economy turmoil, is we're probably having sex less is what KY is finding.
Oh, I heard we were having sex more because it's an inexpensive recreation.
See, no, I've heard that argument too, and that also it brings you closer in time in tough times. You know,
right.
It's intimacy.
And if you can't afford to go out,
people,
if you're staying in, that's one of the things you're going to be doing.
Right.
Right.
So maybe for next week we'll do some research.
But KY said that they think that people are having sex less.
Yes.
Because of finances, though. Well, you mean like what? People can't afford condoms.
No, it doesn't. It didn't go into lubricant.
How hard up are we for the $2 bottle of lubricant?
And does everybody really need that? You know? But I didn't really say. I'm guessing it's none of that.
I'm
guessing it's stress.
People aren't sleeping.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's probably the other thing is people aren't sleeping.
Well, and you know, they say the two things that really sort of, you know, give couples heartache and problems are actually sex and money.
Money, yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, if you're not connected in financial and other aspects, it's hard to get connected sexually. That's my guess. But they actually didn't go into that.
All right. Well, we'll have to find that out for the listeners.
We will, because there is a conflicting sentiment to what you said, which I know is true as well. Yeah. And in fact, there was another study, I don't have the details of it here, but that said that because of what you just said, that people are actually seeking out more intimacy in these tough times, that they're expecting a boom of divorces. Divorces too.
Oh, no,
babies as well, but divorces after this is done because...
Right. People can't afford to get divorced right now.
People don't need it anymore. Well, and they don't need the intimacy the support that they're needing right now, which is really a pessimistic view of the whole thing.
But there's actually research has been done that say people cannot afford a divorce right now.
Really?
Absolutely. They can't afford it. It costs money to get a divorce.
Right.
And especially if that involves selling their house, people are realizing they can't really sell their house.
Right.
So people are staying married or even they're staying under the same roof, whether they're happy or not. And fewer people are hiring private detectives. So that industry is sort of experiencing a downturn because the people can't really afford to find out if their spouse is being...
Really?
Yeah, the spouse is not being faithful. So
that's funny.
Yeah, so yes, I think the divorce rate's going to decline right now, but you're right, it probably will. As soon as the tough times are over, it'll probably go back to where it had been.
Right,
and
right.
I bet you there'll be a baby boomlet, because one. So
I think so, yeah. Very interesting.
Yep. Well, I think we're
about done here.
That was
the show.
For show 75.
Show 75. Just real fast, I just heard this, that it seems like Obama's Afghanistan plan is being very well received by Republicans, Democrats alike, thinking it's the right approach. So
I know. I heard John McCain actually saying it was done correctly.
Yeah. And, you know, I can understand I just want to say this about Obama. I can understand... You know, if you are intelligent and you're thinking and you look at some of Obama's policies and you say, you know, I don't believe in his debt, you know, the budget going into the debt. And if you see some other things about that and have a good, coherent discussion why you wouldn't like it, I get it. Mm-hmm. You know, what I don't get is not liking him. I don't see anything. And maybe I'm naive, but I don't think I am. I don't see anything that would persuade me that he has any other motivation than to improve America over what he got and make a better country for his kids and for us. I really don't. I'm not saying Bush didn't have those things, but it wasn't as obvious to me, it seems like. And, you know, so criticize his policy. Absolutely. That's what democracy is all about. But don't criticize the man as being some sort of, you know, I mean, I heard a criticism of, he just wants to make, you know, big government. Well, my question is, why? What motivation does he have to make big government? No, he just wants to solve problems. And he may have a different way than you to do that. But nobody wants a big government just for the sake of big government. That's the silliest argument. That's conspiracy theory arguments.
Oh, we're going to be socialists. And,
I know. Yeah, like, come on.
I know. But he is going to the G20 summit this week where he's very well liked.
Really?
So that's
good.
Actually a... Plus, he's got so much overseas support.
So how many G's are there? I've heard the G7, there's G20. Is there like G every number depending on who gets together?
G7, 8, and 20, yeah. this is the bigger group. We've included the down to number 20.
Go to the G100.
Down to the G20. And there's already protests in London, so Go figure.
Well, you know, that's whatever. No, that's
there
fine.
Always
that's
will
fine.
Be.
Yeah,
will be.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Till next time, then.
Till 76. Next time. 76. Right. Oh, the spirit of. Bye.
Bye.